Hundreds of people are injured and at least 20 are dead after a powerful earthquake struck northern Afghanistan. The US Geological Survey says the quake hit at a depth of 28 kilometres near Mazar-e-Sharif, which has a population of more than 500,000 people. Rescue teams are working to find survivors, but authorities say the death toll is likely to rise. Ali Latifi is the Asia editor at the New Humanitarian Outlet in Afghanistan. Joined me a short time ago from Kabul.
Thank you.
Tell me about this earthquake and what we know about the scale of damage in Mazar-e-Sharif.
So it occurred last night. I mean, I woke up to it even in Kabul. It was sometime around 1:30 in the morning, and it seemed to go on for a long time because I had been woken up by it. I had time to sort of sit and contemplate whether I should walk out into the hallway to grab my phone, grab my keys, go out into the hallway, see everybody in the hallway. And then it ended. It came to an end. And so it felt very different from past earthquakes. And again, if you think about it, the epicenter of the earthquake was in Samangan province, which is about an hour from Mazar-e-Sharif, which is about 7 hours from Kabul. So if you think about it, like across basically an 8 hour span of distance, which is something like 340, 350 kilometers away, we could feel it. We could feel it. It felt extremely intense. So you have to think about it now. If you're in Mazar, you're in a big city like Kabul. So, you know, your fears are more if you're like in an apartment building or if there are high buildings near you. But where we've seen the real damage is in the villages. And in the villages, you know, it's people living in simpler like mud or adobe or rock homes, depending on the location, like stone homes. And those obviously collapse very easily. And, you know, it's late at night and there isn't much light. And, you know, people are trapped under the rubble and you're trying to figure out how to get them out in the dark. And then from there, how to get them to the nearest hospital, which, to be honest, in most places probably was in Mazar-e-Sharif. So that could be, you know, an hour away. That could be several hours away. So, you know, it creates a lot of tension, whether you're in an urban center or in a rural area.
Mm. Mazar-e-Sharif is famous for the Blue Mosque. Do we know what kind of damage has been done in that part of the city?
There has been some damage to the Hazrat Ali Shrine. They're working to fix it. I mean, Afghanistan has a lot of like really historic monuments, even in big cities. For instance, in 2 years ago, when there was that big earthquake in Herat, the same thing happened with the famous Grand Mosque of the Great Mosque, the Grand Mosque of Herat. And eventually, like they will go around and fix it, but The real damage is really sort of in terms of people's homes and in terms of, I mean, there was one village in Badakhshan province, which is in the very northeast of Afghanistan. It borders China. If you look at a map of Afghanistan, it's at the very tip. The district governor said that in that one village, something like 800 homes were damaged, either partially damaged or completely destroyed. And so, again, it's really about people's entire lives, and it's about the lack of infrastructure. Because if we look at the last three major earthquakes in Afghanistan in 2023, there was the one in Herat a couple months ago in August. There was the one that was in the east between Ninghar and Kanar provinces. And then now this one going all the way from Balkh to Baghlan to Badakhshan provinces. And what always ends up happening is that it's always these very remote areas, these villages that people don't really think about, that don't get a lot of attention, that didn't get a lot of development, where most of the damage happens. And then after the fact, you know, I mean, in a lot of ways, people realize that people even live there, and then also try and figure out how to get them, you know, to live in proper structures so that they can withstand this level of impact. Because obviously, when you're talking about homes that people make for themselves out of, you know, whatever material is easiest to find in their environment, those aren't necessarily made to withstand the shocks of a, what was it, a 6.3 earthquake, and then all the aftershocks that happen after that.
What do we know about the aid efforts and the capability of the Taliban government to get aid in and or let in international aid?
Well, I mean, the Islamic Emirate is very good at that. You know, they're very good at taking aid in, at bringing in international aid. We saw this in Herat, we saw this in Ninghar and Qunar. We see this now. So far, it seems like most of the efforts for this one are local Afghan government and NGOs that are already here. Although India has promised assistance that's supposed to arrive tomorrow. Turkey and Japan and Iran have also said that they would provide assistance if needed. So in that case, they're actually very good at that. They're very responsive. And they, you know, they're very organized at that. They after all of these natural disasters, they establish these sorts of committees and these groups where they go and they survey the scene and they try and react as quickly as possible. And obviously, you know, any international assistance is always welcome.
Are we expecting more information from the scene at the moment? Is it still hard to get a full picture of what's happening?
I think it's going to keep changing because, you know, a lot of it has to do with getting to these areas, seeing what's left behind. And, you know, if you have people who have been trapped under rubble for hours, almost 24 hours now, that changes, you know, like the statistics, the casualty count. And we've seen that throughout the day. I mean, when I woke up this morning at like around 8 a.m., it was, you know, like five dead and like 100 something injured. And now it's the death toll is 20, but the injured rate is well beyond 500. And so that's a massive uptake in just a few hours. And again, that also places a huge strain on the healthcare system, which has already been feeling, you know, for 20 years, there was so much corruption and so much stolen money, you know, during the US-led occupation. And then after the return of the Islamic Emirate, after the Taliban, there were aid cuts in 2021. In 2023, the ICRC cut funding to 20 hospitals, 20 of the biggest hospitals in the country. And then there were the US aid cuts earlier this year. And then that led other governments to follow suit. And it's had a huge impact on the healthcare system in Afghanistan, you know, which I said was already struggling due to corruption and all of the issues from the former Western-backed government. And now with the aid cuts, with the last earthquake 2 months ago, I was speaking to different NGOs and they said that, you know, just within that earthquake zone, dozens of hospitals and clinics closed just in the last few months because of a lack of funding. And so that means that people will have to go out farther to get to a proper healthcare facility. And so the injured rate should not be discounted or thought of as, oh, it's just an injury, because it places more strain on an already struggling healthcare system.
Ali, thank you very much for your time on Radio National Breakfast.
Thank you.